Morning, everybody. That's a bit better this morning, a bit more full. Got a couple of Sundays as we prepare for Lent again. So Lent, Ash Wednesday, 5th of March. And we're thinking about time for and with God. And this morning, particularly entering God's rest, as we rest in God's love and enjoy sweet fellowship with him. I found myself thinking about the rest that we are gifted, understanding the full significance of Sabbath rest and how Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And obviously, for me, thinking about what that means when I go on sabbatical and preparing for my own Sabbath rest. And we're going to look at Psalm 92, which is a psalm for the Sabbath, as we prepare to worship. It says it's a song, but you'll be pleased to know I won't be singing it. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I will sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. And as we think about that, it says from verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Amen. And so we'll sing number 882, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness towards us and all your creation, for the love that reaches out to draw us to yourself, that we might experience that life in abundance. Father, we praise you for your plan for our lives. It was your intention that we should keep one day special for you, that one day should be different, so that we might have the fullest opportunity for worship and rest and renewal. You have designed us to need rest, refreshment, and times of stillness. We praise you that you underlined the importance of your day with a commandment to keep it holy, set apart to be used differently. We praise you for Christ's life, death, and resurrection that has transformed the Sabbath day of rest, transformed it into a day to do good, to seek renewal, and to be open to the power of the risen Christ. May what we say and how we say it, may what we do and how we do it, may how we use your day and how we focus our hearts on you in it bring you glory. And may our lives and relationships bring you joy. Lord, you made us for freedom and responsibility. But we allow ourselves to be controlled by other people's ideas and opinions. So often our lives are governed by our wants and not by our necessities. We allow decisions to be made for us. Lord, the world is governed by impersonal forces. And unfeeling, unthinking machines control our lives. We allow life simply to drift by. Father, give us strength and courage and determination to stand for what we know is real and true and of you. Enable us to live boldly, daring to love and be loved, knowing that we are, by faith, your daughters and sons, cleansed and renewed by Christ. Lord, we offer you everything that we have and that we are, knowing full well that it is all a gift from you. No matter who or what we are, use us in your service. Keep us safe in the face of temptation. And by your Spirit, call and enable us to stand firm with Christ. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we're continuing worship as we sing number 37, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
As the deer pants for the water, so must
So this morning we're going to look at a passage which is a promise and an invitation which is left to us of entering God's rest. And so I'll ask Tricia if she'll come and read our passage to us.
The reading is taken from Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 13a, and that can be found on page 1203. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about a seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It shall remain that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts of the heart, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hid from God's sight. This is the word of the Lord.
So as we've just heard the reading from Hebrews 4, the real problem for Israel at Canaan was a failure to obey God due to fear. According to the writer of Hebrews, God only rested when he had completed his creative work. Israel only forfeited their rest in Canaan when they failed to complete the tasks given to them by God. So in a very literal sense, the rest offered by God is not about just relaxation and leisure. It's about the rewards which come once we have rested from or completed the works that God himself has assigned. This means that Christians saved by faith ought to make every effort to obey God while we still can. Like a razor-sharp knife, the living and active Bible can distinguish even those things that we think are inseparable. Today, I love that phrase as I heard Tricia read it again, today, for each person, there is still an opportunity to respond to God in faith in order to obtain that rest. And shortly we'll explore and understand the full significance of Sabbath rest, discovering that it's not a burden, but an opportunity. It's life-giving and life-changing. So let's sing number 251. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, as we've just heard from your word, that your word is living and active. And Lord, as we come now to hear what you have to say to each one of us, Lord, we thank you that your message may be different. We may hear different things. But Lord, I pray that you would prompt us and that you would inspire us and that you would encourage us as we hear your word to us now. Amen. So we're thinking about entering God's rest. Doing the rounds quite often on social media, there's an icon of a phone battery that is nearly depleted. Have people seen it? It's the one with the lines, and then there's a little red line at the bottom that tells you your battery's about to run out. If you haven't seen it, go home and Google it, you old people. Where have you been? The narrative underneath it says that you wouldn't let this happen to your phone, so don't let it happen to you either. Which I think actually is a good point, isn't it? Because how often do we look at our phone and think, oh, you know, I've only got 10% battery. Someone will think, well, 10% is a luxury, I'll wait till it gets to 2. It says afterwards, self-care is a priority, not a luxury. But it also says that by draining our, particularly our phone battery, to zero, we're actually doing it more harm. Because once it hits zero, there's no life left in it. And actually, it will expire quicker because you're charging it from nothing. So it also encourages us to check our own batteries to see how we are currently feeling. So I'd say mine's about at 1% at the moment. By the end of this preach, I'll be at 100%. I hope. One of the other narratives under the same icon is, you don't let your phone battery run out. Don't let your battery run out. Rest, recover, recharge. So I think what's true of mobiles is also true of us. As we've just heard, Sabbath was always meant as a gift that God, who designed us, knew that we needed. Unfortunately, it has been spoilt by secular society. That weekly breakout was given as an opportunity to power down, to shed that accumulated junk and stuff of the week, and then to breathe, to worship, to play, to connect with family and friends. If anybody ever asks you what's happened to the world, just point to what we've done to it. How often do we rest and relax until we're absolutely exhausted normally and it's forced upon us? I was reflecting on Sabbath rest the other day to the constant hum of the dustman, the workman, the boy racers that run up and down Highfield Way, and the girls. The world is full of constant noise and interruptions, let alone how well that we can distract ourselves, or perhaps that we are distractions to other people. The world is searching for peace, for hope, for something to fill that God-shaped hole in their hearts, which they don't recognize, and so fill with all sorts of other stuff. In today's busy, information-soaked world, the practice of Sabbath rest is more than ever vital to what we need. And as I said before, it's an opportunity. It's life-giving and life-changing. The key to understanding how Jesus is our Sabbath rest is in the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to rest or stop or cease from work. The origin of the Sabbath goes back to creation, as we read. After creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. That didn't mean that God was tired and needed a rest. I mean, if I'd have created the world, I'd be pretty tired. But that's not God, is it? God, as we know, is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. It simply means that he stopped what he was doing. He ceased from his labors. This is important in understanding the establishment of the Sabbath day and the role of Christ as our Sabbath rest. God used the example of his resting on the seventh day of creation to establish the principle of the Sabbath day as a rest for his people. We see in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 that God gave the Israelites the fourth of his 10 commandments. They were to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. God authorized a day of rest for our good. And then we see in Leviticus 25, God gave the Israelites instructions to give the land itself a Sabbath. Every seventh year, Israel was to let the land lay fallow. This required remarkable faith in God, as they essentially had to sit back and wait for God to provide for them. In an agricultural economy with minimal food imports, this would have been really hard. And this also is where we get the term sabbatical from. It is an act of faith. We do not stop because we have completed our work, but because we trust God. God explicitly told his people of Israel to stop their labours. And with the establishment of the Old Testament law, the Jews were constantly labouring to make themselves acceptable to God. And so we come to Hebrews, and in Hebrews 10, a bit later from what we read this morning, it tells us that the law can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. But those sacrifices were offered in anticipation of the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on the cross. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right of God. Just as he rested after performing the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus sat down and rested. Jesus was sent so that we might rest in God and in what he has provided for us. We can now cease from our spiritual labours and rest in him, not just one day a week, but the promise is for eternity for those who believe by faith. In the same way, the writer to the Hebrews urges his readers not to make the same mistake by rejecting God's Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, as we read in verses 9 to 11. Sabbath reminds us to walk in rhythm with God, to the beat of God's heart. There's lots of New Testament reminders about walking in the Spirit. Not to depend on the alignment of perfect circumstances, as we are prone to do. It regularly encourages us to find God in the ordinary patterns of life. Return to our truest identity as a children of the loving God. Because without it, other idols start to replace it, causing us to lose our perspective, obstructing it as a means to partner with God's purposes. The Sabbath kind of corrects an imbalance and remains as countercultural as ever. We are created in God's image, never forget that, and designed with the Sabbath in mind. A weekly block of time to rest and to recalibrate our emotions and our thoughts is part of God's antidote to stress and burnout. It's not a rule as the Pharisees would have. It was made for us to follow randomly, but designed because God knows us and he knows our needs intimately. So it's where we fundamentally offer our lives to God and allow him to move in them. So perhaps we need to ask ourselves, what does the Sabbath mean to us? The Sabbath is a gift that we urgently need to revisit. As the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus had the right and the power and the authority to dispense it in any way he pleased. The Lord of the Sabbath had come. And with his death and resurrection, he became the fulfillment of our Sabbath rest. When Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, in Mark's Gospel, he was attesting to the fact that just as the Sabbath day was originally instituted to give humanity rest from their labours, so did he come to provide us rest from labouring to achieve our own salvation by our works. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, we can now forever cease labouring to attain God's favour and rest in his mercy and his grace. Today is the day that we enter in obedience, to step fully into faith and to place our daily and moment by moment trust in God. But as you may have noticed in verse 11, there is always that but. Rest is not a passive exercise. You're thinking, what? If you rest, surely you're relaxing and you're chilling out. That's very passive, isn't it? Are you there? Hello? Sorry, I thought you'd taken your Sabbath rest already. Because we learn that rest is active. The promise remains of entering God's rest, and we can enter it by faith. But it tells us that we need to make every effort to enter that rest. Now, who thought we'd have to make effort to rest? Well, this side obviously realised, but that's why I'm not so sure. What causes us then to fall short of God's rest? Worry, anxiety, stress, uncertainty. These are the things of this world that are causing us to miss God's rest. These are the things of this world that are causing and producing unbelief. How can we truly believe and have full faith in Christ alone if we're worried or we're stressed or we're leaning on our own understanding? So yes, it is work in some sense. We have to work at it. It takes effort to place our faith and our trust actively into God's hands. But we know that it's worth it. It's an invitation to a person. Sorry, I had a blank sheet then. I suddenly thought, have I got all my sermon? It's an invitation to a person. The Sabbath is no longer a day to be observed, but a person to be received. I have entered the Sabbath rest that God has provided for the world. Sabbath rest is an invitation to practice ready for eternity. It's where we regularly, intentionally engage in God's rule and reign in our hearts and on earth. We have to Shabbat in order to dwell, to stop working and truly rest in God's presence. I thought I would just share some prayerful thoughts since I was offered my sabbatical by yourselves. Some of you understand that a minister's work is a calling, it's a vocation. It's difficult to explain its complexities. Yes, I work so many hours a week, but it doesn't say when. It has emotional highs and lows, as you can probably tell from some of the emails that I send out. Sometimes we're celebrating success. Other times we're missing the loss of a member of our congregation. It is unlike most other vocations. Basically, we can be on call 24 hours a day because we don't know when the next phone call's coming. Pastors need a time of uninterrupted study. That's how we learn more and more about what I then share with you. As I was saying to some of you earlier, I've been blessed to go on the Forge course over the last couple of months, another 5 months to come, but it's talking very much about discipleship and identity and forgiveness. And that's just the first 2 months. But it's something that I too need to hear to give. It actually means that you trust me to go and have a sabbatical and that you have the opportunity to grow as a congregation in my absence. Did you know that? You all look terrified now. And it's not while the cat's away the mouse will play. But just think what you can do as you pray and share together. It is good for the church. It may not feel it at the moment, but we will all be blessed as we pray for each other, as you pray for me, as I pray for you. It is good, as we see with the laying the crops bare, for the fields bare for the seventh year. It enhances our faith in God. The point of a sabbatical is not only to spend time with God, but also to rest in God. to pray, to worship, to do whatever God wants me to do. And that's why I ask for your prayers alongside my own. To take a Sabbath is to rest from our productivity so that we can have a closer relationship with God, with ourselves, and with each other. So it's a rest for physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational renewal. And that takes time. It's not something you can do in one day, one week. Some say that pastors give more than we receive. That's a natural consequence of our calling and our gifting. But it doesn't mean that we don't need spiritual input. I need to hear the word of God preached to me as well. I think Paul gives a good warning in 1 Timothy. He says to Timothy, pay close attention to your life and your teaching, persevere in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. A ministry sabbatical is a reminder of the heart of the gospel. Yesterday, as I said, we were talking about identity. My identity isn't in what I do, as we were sharing yesterday, or how I perform as a preacher and a teacher and a pastor. My identity is found in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose from the dead. Sabbath rest is about receiving God's grace through faith. So we have that concept all the way through the Bible of allowing ourselves, each and every one of us, to rest in God's love, to intentionally step away from my work, to rejuvenate spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And then it enables me, hopefully, to return to ministry with renewed passion and effectiveness. A time to deeply reconnect with God and to recharge so that I can better serve you as I've been called to do. Reflection and renewal is quite difficult sometimes because, as I said, we're often distracted by different things. But it's good. If you remember during COVID when we pressed stop on everything, I still loved it. I know some of you weren't so keen. But it enabled us, didn't it, to reevaluate our priorities, what was important, why we did what we did, possibly dump some stuff from our own lives, maybe from our church lives, that we didn't really need to do. It prevents burnout. Personally, I'm looking forward to a time of dedicated prayer, personal study, retreating, but deepening my relationship with God and understanding of Scripture. God's rest is a beautiful place to live. It improves our effectiveness. We come at it from a place that is in the abundance and love of God. Not because God loves us, but because God is love. The Word of God is alive because it is God, active and breathing. God is refining us. We read in Hebrews 4, He is a double-edged sword, slicing away what needs to be cut from us. God exposes the Word of God. Christ, Jesus' life, they expose our weaknesses and draws us to the central power that comes from resting in God. Today is the day to place our trust and faith in God actively. Following Jesus or raising our hand to follow God is not a one and done action. It's so much more than anything over time. Following Jesus is a consistent, daily, active faith to step into his rest. And so we allow him to permeate our entire being. rest might lead us to reset our habits. We learn to use the gift of Sabbath rest that God provides. We will experience more of his peace and joy that characterizes his kingdom. We will learn to grow in relationships and remember the kind of community that God has called us to build. We can trust God to bless our time and rest and make us effective in our kingdom walk and our kingdom work. Amen. A prayer written by Carolyn Gallette. O God, you made the Sabbath day, your gift, your law, your healing way. You also made within each heart a longing for this time apart. You gave your children long oppressed your freeing gift of Sabbath rest. You give us Sabbath freedom too. Our lives are more than work we do. Life's sacred rhythm seems long gone. The world unblinking carries on. Your spirit calls us, slow our pace, that we may hear your word of grace. Christ Jesus lives, he makes us new. On Sundays now we worship you, with hearts uplifted, joy restored. Your church goes out to serve you, Lord. Amen. And so we remember and give our thanks and praise as we sing number 708. To God be the glory, great things he has done. You've got a train to catch. Let's pray. We go into the new week, refreshed by your presence, O God, filled with the love of Christ and overflowing with the life of your Holy Spirit. Be with each one of us, now and forever. Amen.